An epic week for Auburn basketball just keeps getting better.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. Are you hearing an echo? Well, it's playing. It's like it's playing the intro twice, but whatever. It's all good. I think I know what it is. I accidentally had the YouTube live up and it was like echoing, but regardless, we're good now. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast Live Edition. We got Taylor Korn joining us tonight. We're going to talk about this epic week of Auburn basketball that just seemingly keeps getting better. You win two big road games. You pick up a big commitment at a very big position of need, and let's reminisce. Let's reminisce a little bit. Before we do that, we got to give a shout out to Uncle Keith's Red Sauce. You got to go to UncleKeith'sRedSauce.com. Use coupon code TheBarn25. Take 25% off your order. Taylor, do you love salsa?
I love salsa.
Do you love restaurant salsa?
I love the best homemade salsa.
There you go.
Salsa that tastes homemade.
There you go. Well, Uncle Keith's Red Sauce gives you the best of both worlds. It gives you, you can get it in the store, you can get it online, and you can still have that same like restaurant style flavor at the same time without having the same old out of the box store bought salsa that you get everywhere else. You can get it at any Publix in the state of Alabama, every grocery store in Auburn, seemingly, if you live in Auburn. And then you can obviously go online to UncleKeithsRedSauce.com. Auburn family, show them some love, show them some support. Uncle Keith Red's Red, Uncle Keith's Red Sauce. It's good, y'all. How about that? All right, Taylor, a great week. Great week in general. Two big road wins. You go to Vandy, convincing win there. Then you go to Tuscaloosa. Big convincing win in Tuscaloosa, and then you pick up a huge commitment. Just overall this week, how are you feeling? Tell me how you're feeling about this week. What's your biggest takeaways from the week?
I feel so good. I haven't woke up on a Sunday morning feeling as good as I felt this morning in quite some time.
Yeah.
Because to be completely honest, that's a game. Saturday morning, Friday night, Dunaway and I did a live stream kind of previewing the game. And I said, I feel like Alabama's going to win. They're a good basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
And Auburn hadn't been playing their best. They hadn't been playing as good as we'd seen them play earlier in the season. And Alabama was rolling. You know, they put up historic shooting numbers at Texas the game prior.
17 threes, yeah.
Yeah, and so I didn't feel great about it. There was so much outside noise, so much excitement around the game, a lot of distractions, if you will, and I didn't feel great about it.
Yeah.
So I walked in there. I walked into Coleman Coliseum on Saturday afternoon, and I was like, I'm expecting it to be a close game. I don't think this is going to be a blowout one way or another, but I think this is a game that Auburn might drop. And I was proved wrong, and I've never been happier. I have never been happier.
Yeah, you've been talking about it seemingly to anybody that'll listen since the game's over. I mean, you just need an ear to listen because there's just so much elation from that win. No, one thing I think that I guess this had been in the back of my head, but like it was big time confirmation, and it's kind of like you. Obviously, we're still winning. You did drop the Florida game, but you're not necessarily. You feel like you're playing with your food a little bit. It feels like Auburn likes to play with their food a little bit. Games get a little bit closer than they should. And just not quite – I want to say limping, with no pun intended, but just kind of limping through the season and still winning games. But this game, I feel like now, it doesn't matter how the rest of the season plays out. It doesn't matter what Auburn's – seeding ends up being. I don't think there's a team that Auburn can't beat in the country. I don't think there's one team in the country Auburn can't beat. You go down the list, Auburn's played toe-to-toe with all of them. I really thought Alabama was – I knew that Auburn was a better shooting team. I knew that Auburn played much better defense. But just being at Coleman Coliseum, I just had that little bit of – like you, that little bit of worry that road games in general are tough. road games against a team that can shoot like Alabama does can be even tougher. But they clamped down on the defense, didn't give them, made them not be able to do what they wanted to do. And I think that was that to me shows that with the right game plan, there's nobody in the country that can beat Auburn. I mean, there's nobody in the country that Auburn can't beat. I'm not going to say they'll never lose, but there's nobody in the country that Auburn can't beat, especially on a neutral court. I want to ask you a question. Okay.
Okay.
You obviously work for the next round and you go into quote unquote enemy territory quite often. And I don't think it's a secret that you're a big Auburn fan.
It is not.
You could probably get lost in Bryant-Denny. Like you could probably, you know what I mean? It's big, it's spread out. Like you could probably just kind of, you know, sneak in here or there and you may not necessarily be super recognized, or like you don't necessarily have everybody on top of you, but it's hard to go into Coleman Coliseum being where you have to be and then not be right in the middle of the action. What's it like going into Coleman when you got a charged up, charged up stadium, charged up Coliseum, ready to go, and they see you coming? And then,
it's always interesting. No matter who Alabama's playing, you know, I walk into the media room to put my backpack down and there's always someone making some sort of comment like, oh, what brought you here? You know, that kind of all in good faith. But yesterday I was just walking around, you know, there were a bunch of former players there. And when I'm in Tuscaloosa, I'm getting social media stuff for the next round. So I was going to where Brandon Miller and all the former players were sitting because there were a bunch of them at the game.
Yeah, there was.
And I was walking out of the little tunnel near where they were sitting, and someone stopped me and said, I have a feeling this is the game that's going to turn you into a Bama fan. And I literally got stopped in my tracks and I was like,
excuse me.
Yeah. I turned around. I don't know. I don't know who it was, but I turned around and I said, it's not in my blood. I kept walking. But after the game, I was like, I don't know where you are in here. You may have already left, but I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah.
So it's always interesting. And they, and then at the end of the game, there was like a minute left probably. And at this point, I didn't feel, my stomach wasn't feeling easy. You know, I was still a little sure. nervous about the game because I think the lead was six, maybe. And they hit two shots.
Yeah. And Janai had just missed four straight free throws.
Right. So I wasn't by any means relaxing. And someone that was sitting next to me on the baseline, it was a couple of people down, leaned over and goes, congratulations on the win. And I was like, whoa, this game is not over yet. This last minute could take 20.
Yeah, exactly. And they were going to extend it. And Bruce was losing his mind when every time Janai would touch the ball and get fouled, he's like, guys, what are we doing? And then they obviously drew it up at the end to make sure that Broom was nowhere near the inbound. And then they closed it out. But were you not on the side, I'm trying to think which were you on Alabama's baseline, like on Alabama's side, or were you on Auburn's side?
Yeah, I was on Auburn was coming towards me offensively in the first half. Alabama was in the second half.
So you were like the whole Chad situation like landed right in your lap, right?
Yes, right over my right shoulder.
So I think I've seen enough angles where I kind of know about what happened and what the whole exchange was. But what was from your point of view? What did you feel like went down?
So I saw him fall.
Yeah.
And then my vision was kind of blocked by the people sitting, because we're sitting on the floor. So you don't have any elevation to kind of get like a bird's eye view of what's going on. And so I saw him fall over the photo video people that were sitting on the baseline. And then I see him standing up. And at first I was like, okay, he's just, you know, looking at the crowd. He's not saying anything. He's just looking and letting them know that he has arrived. And then I see arms start flying. So I start rolling my camera again because I was like, all right, what's going on here? This woman was losing her mind.
Yes,
and she had a disgusted scowl on her face for the rest of that ruined the game. And it sent her over the edge when he blocked the shot.
Yeah.
She was sitting
there. That was also riding her lap.
Yes. And I don't know what they showed on the TV broadcast after that happened, but of course I turn around again. So I'm like, all right, here we go. And the same lady is motioning that she wants him to get a technical. And I was like, sister, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
I was like, that's part of it. You sit here, there's a chance that you get a player in your lap. There's a chance you get hit by a ball. And it's not like he was inbounding the ball and turned around and threw it at you. I was like, you're not getting any sort of calls from Pat Adams.
No, exactly. So this is, guy in the comments wants to know, NH3425, do we know what he said? Do we know what she said? I don't know what she said, but this is what I think happened, because I read a portion of her lips, and I'm pretty sure she said, what do you want him to do? What do you think he should, like, in other words, like, what do you want him to do, or what should he have done? I think what happened was Chad goes into the stands, and you can see multiple guys push him.
Yeah.
They push him off, and Chad basically says something to the tune of, don't touch me. Get your hands off of me. And that's when she looked at her, whoever she was with, and she said, what did you expect him to do? Or what do you think he should have done? Or what do you think he should do? What was he supposed to do? That's what she said. What was he supposed to do? Well, you know what you're supposed to do. You help somebody up. You don't push him off. Like, one guy, they called him frat guy in the tweets. I saw it. Frat guy stands up and, like, goes out of his way to put his hands on Chad and push him. It was pretty exciting exchange, and she's going to be a meme forever. So
yes,
congratulations.
Yes, she will live on Auburn Twitter for the rest forever.
She's
going to
be, when the next win, she will be one of the comment memes, like the tweet comment memes, like, you just lost to Courtside Karen or something, like, you just lost to the team that upset Courtside Karen or something. I think that I saw people calling her Coliseum Karen. So I think that's a pretty good one.
She was very upset.
She was not happy, among other things. And then obviously she saw her boys tote that BTA, which I've really become to love that expression, belt to the hind end. It's become fun. And you saw Denver had the belt. No, it wasn't Denver. It was Tahad. Tahad had the belt in the locker room. Learned a new song this weekend. Walk in your trap, take over your trap. That's a good one. I'm a little bit old for that, but I'm going to start bumping it now.
You should. Rightfully so.
So yeah, great week. Great game. Anything in particular in the game that we haven't talked about that you thought, was like the turning point or like the biggest memory from the game? Other than, obviously Chad making fans mad.
I was listening to Nate Oates' press conference, and it was a member of the media threw this stat out there when he was asking his questions. And I was so impressed by this. But he said, and I haven't gone back and watched the game yet, which I will probably tonight, because I, like you said, I can't stop talking about it. I'm like, anyone that will listen, please speak to me about this game. But he said that when Alabama was trailing by 3 or less points, they were 2 of 13 from the field, 1 of 5 from 3. And he was asking Nate, why do you think you were able to claw your way back into the game a number of times, but then you got close and they pulled away again? And I thought that was very interesting. And Nate gave all the credit to Auburn's defense. And he said, when you're up 14, when you're up 10, you can get, I don't know if lazy is the right word, but you're not playing defense as hard as you are when it's a tie game. And that was crazy to me, because I was like, when they were playing lockdown defense, when it was life or death, we have to have a defensive stop. They held Alabama. They were 2 of 13. And that is insanely impressive for a team that everyone in the country knows can score.
Yeah, totally. I mean, the defensive effort was just across the board was incredible. One of the, I think I'll probably remember the 3-point exchange in midway through the second half. I'll probably remember that forever. I mean, that was pretty incredible. They were not hitting anything. And then all of a sudden, I think Mark Sears hit 2 threes in back-to-back possessions. Then Tahad goes down and hits a 3. Then was it Youngblood hits a 3.
Yep.
And then Chad goes back and hits another 3. And it's like, and you know, they got to be thinking like, yeah, what do we got to do? Like, we just hit 3 threes in a row and we can't cut into this lead at all. And then we turn around and go on a big run. It was just, answering the call every single time. It was just a ton of fun, And then not only that, I mean, I don't want to overshadow the Vandy win either, at middle of the week, going on the road, winning there. The end of that five-game stretch, we were talking about that five-game stretch, that it was going to be, man, it's going to be tough if we can just get through it 3-2 or 4-1. We'd be fired up, and it turns out we did. Did you have any sort of predictions on that five-game stretch? What did you see, Auburn? When I say that five-game stretch, I'm talking about you started off with Ole Miss, you had Oklahoma, then you have Florida, at Vanderbilt, at Alabama. I mean, that was a pretty brutal stretch. At Ole Miss, Oklahoma, Florida, at Vanderbilt. Three away games in five games. It was pretty crazy.
I thought that we would be 4-1, but I thought we would beat Florida at home and drop the game in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah.
So record, what I thought it would be, the loss did not come where I thought the loss would come.
For sure. For sure. And I think most people would probably say something like that. And I kind of thought maybe you could get tripped up at that Ole Miss game too. But that didn't happen. You went in there and went one by 10 plus points and controlled that game. I thought it was kind of crazy that Nate Oates has never not led in a game at Coleman in his career at Alabama until this one. I didn't realize not 1 second did they lead that game. It was about a minute and 40 seconds where it was tied, including the very beginning of the game. First game ever at Coleman. He never led in the game. I thought that was pretty crazy.
And something that a lot of people have been talking about when talking about Auburn is they're a dangerous team because they can win in a number of different ways. And I think that was kind of the issue for Alabama. I mean, Auburn's defense played incredible, but Alabama, when Ole Miss went into Tuscaloosa and won, they forced Alabama to play a different style of basketball. If Auburn can't force you to play the style of basketball that Auburn wants to play, they can still beat you.
Yeah.
See the Tennessee game.
Yeah.
You know, that's not how Auburn wants to play, but they can play your game and they can beat you at your game. And that's what they did to Alabama yesterday. So it's not, okay, we need to be the one setting the pace of the game. We need to change X, Y, or Z to get things back to where we're comfortable. They were playing the style of game that they're comfortable playing and have seen a lot of success playing. But Auburn can adjust.
Yes, they can do both. They can beat you ugly. If you want to slow it down, they'll beat you ugly. If you want to speed it up, they'll run with you. They'll defend you. They'll run you off the three-point line. They'll hit their shots, and they'll beat you. If you want to run and gun, they'll run with you. Like you said, they can literally do – they can play a half-court game. They can play a full-court game. It doesn't matter. They're really good. Taylor, somebody's asking if you're still doing Uncorked.
I have not in a while because I'm very busy with – I've got a few responsibilities on my plate right now.
Yeah.
So I'll probably –
And you just had the flu.
Yes, and I just had the flu, which thoughts and prayers to any of you who are suffering from the flu this season.
Dap's got the flu right now.
Yeah,
Dap's got the flu. It's tough.
I was down bad with the flu. But I'm going to try during the postseason once postseason play starts, like SEC tournament, NCAA tournament, traveling to try and do some stuff there, definitely over the summer. But right now, there's only so many hours in the day, and
sure,
the majority of them are occupied by other things currently.
For sure. For sure. So, so great week, and it got even better today as Auburn gets their JUCO, the guy they honed in on 2 weeks ago when he visited for Florida. You've been hearing this name for a while. Finally get him to go ahead and pull the trigger and commit. It's Abdul Bashir, combo guard from Casper College. I think that's in like Wyoming. JUCO guy, one of the top JUCO scorers in junior college basketball. 6'7". I think he's only like 170 pounds though. So we got to beef him up just a little bit.
Like a Chad.
Yeah. He's another Chad. Yeah. When he gets here, but he's scoring 25 points a game, shooting 37% from three, the impact combo guard. I think he could play two and three. Just talk about the significance of adding that kid, and all the ramifications that could possibly come with it.
Yeah, his twin brother
That's the big one.
Is someone that Auburn saw earlier this season. He plays for Monmouth. And yeah. I can't remember exactly. I'm trying to look it up right now. What his stat line was when they came to Auburn to play. But
I got it
that
right
is
now.
Interesting to keep an eye on, I would say.
Yeah, he scored 15 points. He scored 15 points, shot 2 of 5 from 3, 5 of 5 from the line. He's pretty good.
Yeah, he's averaging 20 points a game.
Yeah.
So that's something to keep an eye on. I'm having such a hard time, though, keeping up with – obviously, I know some guys are straight up out of eligibility, and then the freshmen can all obviously return. But I am so lost in terms of the JUCO, that whole ruling as to who could possibly come back. Like, I'm at a loss when it comes to what Auburn's roster will look like next year. I know Dylan's done. I know Janai will be gone. But a lot of these other guys.
You know who else is at a loss? The coaching staff. Yep. The NCAA has given absolutely zero. They have no idea. Like, and this kind of goes back to football when it was going to be, is it going to be 85 scholarships? Is it going to be 120? Is it going to be 105? No clear guidance. So you have really no idea how to structure your roster. And I think that's probably why it took 2 weeks till you go ahead and you get this commitment on the board. Cause I think Auburn was sort of like, what do we do? Because, if all these guys can come back, do you take him? And then how do you afford it? Where are the minutes go and all that stuff. But I think it was just got to the point where this kid's so good. You just got to get him in here. And then the bonus aspect of could his brother go in the portal, and you could have two carbon copy. And they like look so much alike, like in every aspect. They're both the same height. They're both play the same position. They're both about the same weight. They obviously look alike. And then they score very, very similar. The ancillary aspects of landing Abdul, possibly getting his brother Abdi, would be spectacular. And then you got the JUCO thing. Like he's at JUCO. So, but does JUCO count? Like, or does it not count? So like, could he come to Auburn with 4 years to play or multiple more than just 2 years to play? There's a lot of stuff to talk about, or a lot of aspects of that could end up working out and even more in Auburn's favor. But I really like this kid, and Auburn does too. I mean, they've kind of, you heard his name being floated around early, and he came in on the official visit, and it's official. So when you're talking about guys, if everybody sort of gets, you had the JUCO thing where they petitioned for another year. Then you had Division II guys that petition and won for an additional year. So, I mean, that just about covers everybody. I mean, Denver could come back. Chaney could come back. Chad could come back. If they just go blanket 5 years of eligibility across the board, now you bring Miles back in. Miles could come back. You could almost just about bring everybody back but Broome and Dylan. And then you're just trying to find – some bigs in the portal, and then how hard is that going to be? How hard is that going to be to sell to a big in the portal that, hey, you can come be Janai Broome and look what we can do. So,
and something else that I feel like isn't talked about enough, or I don't see it being talked about enough, is the development. These guys, this roster, the best roster in all of college basketball right now, is not stuffed with 4- and 5-star guys. A lot of these guys came from either, JUCO, came from a smaller school.
Yeah, other than Miles.
Like Bruce has turned – exactly. Other than, Miles Tejada, obviously, is just an elite talent. But look at the way that this staff has developed a lot of these guys who were – some of them were straight unranked, have no profile on a recruiting service coming out of high school. Janai was the 400-something – recruit in his class. It's crazy. And I know the development, sorry, my lights are strobing, one of my light bulbs is messed up, but the joking about sold a dream, I needed to be developed from Aiden Holloway, I'm not using the word development to make any sort of comparison to that, but just in general, I a couple weeks ago went down the list looking at the guys that are on this year's roster and went back and looked at what they were ranked And I know that stars aren't the end all be all coming out of high school, but a lot of times that does, that's a pretty solid implication of what you're getting out of a player. So the fact that he's been able to turn these guys that were not highly recruited out of high school into players that, that any team in the country would kill to have out of the portal is incredible.
Or coming from smaller schools and you know, in the transfer portal, like Chaney. Mm-hmm. How good has Chaney gotten? It seems like every single time he goes out on the court, he gets just a little bit better. He's becoming a really clutch three-point shooter all of a sudden, like hitting some big threes. Then you mentioned several guys, but yeah, I think I like that. I like that storyline. I like the idea that Bruce, they not only can evaluate, but they can develop. But at the same time, I feel like it's kind of used against Auburn. Like Auburn's, they shouldn't be where they are because they're just winning with a bunch of bums. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's what it pisses me off a little bit, because I look at Alabama's roster, and you know, they keep talking about Alabama. Even after the game, Jeff Goodman said to Bruce something like, well, you know, they're probably more talented than you, but you still, you know, went in there and beat them. And I'm so like, where does that come from? Like who, like go roster spot by roster spot. Where is that? Where is that? I'm missing it. I love this team's makeup. I agree with you. I think Bruce being able to, Auburn probably doesn't have the best NIL war chest out there. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not really known, don't have a huge alumni base for basketball. That when I say that, I mean like that just could pump the money that like a Kentucky could pump in, or a UConn, or, you know, a Louisville, or these basketball schools, or heck, just even, you know, Tennessee or some of these, you know, basketball schools in the SEC. But he's able to pick, he's able to choose, he's able to find the guys that don't mind getting dirty and playing defense. He's able to find the Chris Moores that can go play 9 minutes and be plus 17 and plus minus, the Dylan Cardwells who will hang out forever and be cool with being the number two guy. It's just, it's been pretty remarkable. And this team is, I mean, they're really unreal. Like you're talking about could be the, like historically one of the best teams that's ever played college basketball. I mean, when you look at strength of schedule and everything, it's pretty incredible. So Auburn remains undefeated on the road in conference. Now you get to come home and you got three home games in a row. You could lose any of them, but all three, you should be heavily favored. And I saw a tweet from one of the bracketologists over the weekend. It said basically, hey, if Auburn wins two more games, they're a lock for a number one seed, which is insane. We are not even in March yet. Like it's still midway through February, and Auburn's resume is built so deep already. Two more wins, you could be looking at a number one seed. Obviously, you're going to be vying for that number one overall seed, but just incredible. Like this is not even real life.
That's what every time, like yesterday, for example, Dunaway and I sat down to go live after the game. He starts the show and he's just like, give me your thoughts. And I'm like, I genuinely don't even know what to say right now. And that's the same way that I felt after, I can't remember what game it was. It was after a home game recently. I'm like, I sit here and I watch them play and I'm floored. Because I'm like, what is going on? And something that I thought about yesterday after the game ended that I think makes this team different from past Auburn teams, not just historically great in the college basketball landscape, but I think the difference in this year's team is before yesterday, six of the last nine games between Auburn and Alabama were decided in 8 or less points. So they were down to the wire. And Auburn has been strong defensively over the past couple of years. That hasn't been their issue. But when it comes down to the wire, they haven't had these clutch shot makers that can hit a shot when, you know, everyone's freaking out. The fans are freaking out. And you're just waiting for the other shoe to drop. And that's what is so special about this team to me, is they have it defensively, as a lot of other teams have too. But we haven't had guards that can score as efficiently as the guards that we have now can. And you have guys that can make shots when, you know, your heart rate's probably a little bit higher. And that's what's been so impressive to me, is these one possession, two possession games, guys like Tejada don't get rattled. Chaney keeps his composure. And the lights are never too bright for them. And I think that's what sets this team apart, in my opinion.
It could be five guys could hit a shot. There's five plus guys, maybe six, because you bring in Tejada off the bench a little bit. I mean, you could go to Denver to hit a big shot. You could go to Chad to hit a big shot. You could go to Chaney. You could go to, I already mentioned Tejada, Miles. And then if you want to Broome hit two incredibly clutch shots late in the game right there, you know, in the paint where he's been a little bit rusty, over the last couple of games. Two big hook shots, couple of fadeaways. I mean, I'm with you. That's, to me, that's what makes this team resemble so much of that 2019 team, is that, you know, when you had Malik Dunbar that could come off the bench and hit a big shot. You had Bryce Brown, obviously, Jared Harper. Samir Dowdy can come off the bench, and then Chuma Okeke could hit shots when he needed to. This team resembles so much of those characteristics, but they're just longer. You know what I mean? Like it's just a bigger team than that one. It's a lot of fun, and I think that's probably the most fun about this team, is like you can never really count them out. Like you can never really, no lead is really safe, and they can play with anybody. And that kind of goes back to my point at the beginning of the show. I just feel like there's nobody. I don't care if we don't win another game, like we just say we're done, and we're, you know, two or three seed, whatever. Don't care. I just don't feel like there's anybody in the country that we can't beat. So put us wherever you want to put us. I feel like we got a good chance to run it. But obviously, I don't want to do that. I want the number one overall seed, because I want to be able to play. I think it's the Sweet 16 and Elite 8 in Atlanta. I want that, because that would be
home court.
That would be a home court, and it would be cheaper for Auburn fans to go there to witness than it would be to go take part in one of these next three home games. So,
yeah,
a lot of fun, exactly. a lot of fun, and love. I hope we can go 3-0 on this next stretch, and then just see what happens down the end. Go ahead and get things clinched up. But Taylor, any parting thoughts before we head out of here?
Tejada Pettiford, I have a quick story.
Okay, I can't wait.
So, second half of the game yesterday, Mark Sears is shooting free throws. Mm-hmm. Tejada's standing, you know, 5-6 feet behind him. He's not under the basket trying to get a rebound after a free throw. So he's just kind of chilling back there. No one's around him. Mark Sears squats down a little bit. You know, he's getting ready to shoot. Probably like a second, maybe half a second before the ball leaves Mark's hand, Tejada goes, because it's quiet. It's silent in there. They're playing at home. No one's making noise. And I'm sitting at the baseline, so I can hear when they're playing on that side of the court, I can hear what they're saying to each other.
Yeah.
Tejada's standing there. I mean, he looks like a baby. He is a baby. Yeah. And he's just standing there, you know, innocent as can be. Mark's here. He's about to release the ball from his hands. Tejada goes, "Hey, Mark." And it killed me, because I'm like, and then he has his little smirk on his face, like he's sitting there like he just played a prank. But I was like, this kid is fearless. He's coming in to, obviously they're winning. Would he have done that if they were losing? I mean, I don't know, maybe, probably not. But I'm like, this kid doesn't care.
No.
He does not care. And he's not one that's going to be talking trash up and down the court all game. You know, he might give you a little something after he hits a big shot. But I'm like, this kid, he is fearless. He's fearless. He knows he's good. He will walk in to Coleman Coliseum, and he'll try and prank Mark Sears. And I was just like, I love this team. I love the personality.
I mean, and Mark's like a good, 10, 15 years older than him too. So that's, not respecting your elders. No, I love it. And that goes like saying stuff like that. And then when it's the 3-point barrage, him just going down there, taking the ball down the court and then pulling it up. Like, we don't get it set. We don't get a rotation. We don't got anybody under there for a rebound. I'm just going to pop it in your eye. That left-handed jump shot. Absolutely love it. Great week. A lot of fun. Got to keep it going. This season seems somewhat surreal, but it's been a blast following it, and I hope it doesn't stop anytime soon. So let's win these next three at home and then just kind of keep going from there. So, Taylor, appreciate you jumping on. Tell everybody where they can find you and support you.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter, Taylor Corn TNR, and then after every – game,
yes,
home or away, Dunaway and I go live on the next round.
How's he holding up?
Let me, I would like to pat myself on the back for a second, because when Alabama loses, I don't join the show and parade around it. I'm trying.
You should,
to be,
but you know, you're very graceful.
I should, because I know how I feel when Auburn loses, and I'm like, I'm treating others the way that I would like to be treated. And
never works that way.
He's struggling. I think we recorded our show for that will be released tomorrow morning. This afternoon, we started recording, and he starts the show by saying that the official threw the ball to Auburn for the tip off at the beginning of the game. And I was like, are you kidding me? I was like, that's how far we're reaching.
They played 40 minutes after that. Alabama shot 127 free throws.
That's what I said. I was like, don't worry, really. And he's like, I mean, I know they had 38 minutes or 39 minutes like to figure it out, but he did throw the ball to Dylan Cardwell. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go back and watch this. No. Dylan Cardwell was 2 feet off the ground, and Cliff hadn't even jumped yet. I'm like,
my triple single.
Like, what are we doing? I was like, he tries to just get me riled up. That's part of it. But I was like, all right, you're stretching here, you're reaching. But if you would like to see his banter, you can join us live post game, and then on Monday mornings and Friday mornings, we put out episodes, and then 9 to 12 every day on the next round.
Can't wait to catch the next one. Guys, if you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. Thanks for everybody in the comments with the great y'all cracking me up with some of the stuff in there. But definitely hit that alert bell so you know when the next one's going live. We really appreciate it, and we'll catch you the next time. This is another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay button.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.